Before we get into the entertainment and culture stories, the Spotify prediction market fraud is a story that belongs at the intersection of platform integrity, financial regulation, and the attention economy. Spotify removed 500,000 fake streams tied to bets on a prediction market platform called Kalshi. The scheme worked like this. A bot network artificially streamed a song called Earrings by Malcolm Todd, pushing it to number one on Spotify's US chart. A $3 million prediction market bet was structured to pay out based on whether that song reached number one. It did, because of the bots.
This is market manipulation using a novel mechanism. The underlying asset being manipulated isn't a stock. It's a streaming chart. But the financial instrument built on top of that chart, the prediction market contract, is functionally equivalent to a derivative. The $3 million payout structure gave someone an enormous financial incentive to do something they otherwise wouldn't, pay for 500,000 fake streams. Prediction markets, which have been promoted as a way to aggregate information and improve forecasting, turn out to create incentives to manipulate the underlying facts they're supposed to be measuring.
Kalshi and Polymarket have both been expanding rapidly as prediction market platforms, and this case illustrates the regulatory gap. Traditional securities regulations cover market manipulation of stocks and commodities. They don't clearly cover manipulation of cultural metrics being used as prediction market underlying assets. The CFTC has regulatory jurisdiction over some prediction markets, but the framework is underdeveloped relative to the current scale of these platforms.
The Tucker Carlson third-party announcement is the culture politics story of the week. Carlson told the Columbia Journalism Review, an unusual venue choice that itself signals something about his current positioning, that he hasn't spoken to Trump since the Iran war began, and that the United States is a one-party state. He's vowing to help build a third party. The historical base rate for successful third-party movements in American politics is not encouraging. Ross Perot won 19% of the popular vote in 1992 and zero electoral votes. The structural barriers, ballot access, first-past-the-post voting, the spoiler effect, make third parties very difficult to sustain.
That said, Carlson has genuine audience reach and fundraising capacity. His departure from Fox News in 2023 didn't end his influence. It arguably amplified it through independent channels. The question is whether his current disaffection with Trump represents a durable political identity or a personal grievance that might resolve over time.
The Trump FIFA ticket disclosure, $15,000 in tickets from FIFA President Infantino, as part of roughly $120,000 in total sports tickets disclosed in his financial filing, is the kind of story that lives in the ethics space. Trump is scheduled to present the World Cup trophy on July 19th. Gifts from foreign officials and heads of international organizations to U.S. presidents are supposed to go through a specific disclosure and handling process. Whether Infantino qualifies as a foreign official for these purposes is a legal question. But the optics of a president receiving tickets from the head of an organization whose events he's personally involved with are straightforward.
The disease threat story is worth flagging with some gravity. Reporting indicates that public health infrastructure has degraded meaningfully following cuts to federal health programs over the past 18 months. The specific disease threats named include various vector-borne illnesses and respiratory pathogens. Public health preparedness is the kind of infrastructure investment whose absence only becomes visible during an emergency. The screwworm outbreak in Texas is a small preview of what happens when agricultural biosecurity systems are underfunded.
Now, Marcus, I want to do our What If We're Wrong segment because I think the most confident claim in today's news landscape is the Fed Chair Warsh thesis that AI will drive sustained productivity growth and the U.S. will be a big winner. That's being treated as essentially consensus by markets right now.
Walk me through the challenge.
The core assumption behind Warsh's bullish AI view is that AI-driven productivity gains will flow broadly through the economy, that they'll increase output without proportionally increasing costs or concentrating returns among a small number of firms. The historical parallel that AI optimists use is electrification in the 1920s, which did eventually drive broad productivity gains. But the diffusion of electricity took 30 years to show up in aggregate productivity statistics. And during that period, there were plenty of false dawns. What if AI is electrification, but we're in 1905, not 1925? What if the productivity gains require complementary infrastructure investments in education, in organizational change, in regulatory frameworks that are themselves being systematically defunded?
And the counterargument to that counterargument is that AI is moving faster than electricity did. The pace of capability improvement from GPT-3 to GPT-5 in 4 years has no historical analog in infrastructure deployment speed.
Which could mean the gains come faster, or it could mean the disruption comes faster than institutions can adapt, causing a productivity dip before the gains materialize. There's also the concentration question. The AI compute stack is dominated by NVIDIA at the chip layer, by Azure, AWS, and Google at the cloud layer, and by 3 or 4 labs at the model layer. If the productivity gains from AI accrue primarily to those companies and their shareholders, aggregate GDP growth may not translate into broad wage growth. Warsh's U.S. will be a big winner framing assumes the gains are nationally distributed. They might not be.
So what's the indicator to watch? What would tell us we're right or wrong in the next 12 months?
Non-farm productivity growth in the Bureau of Labor Statistics quarterly releases. Current consensus is projecting a 2.5 to 3% annual productivity growth rate as the AI baseline. If we see 2 consecutive quarters below 1.5% productivity growth by mid-2027, despite significant AI investment, that's the signal that the productivity transmission isn't working the way Warsh and the market bulls expect. Watch the labor productivity numbers, not the AI investment numbers. Investment tells you what people are betting on. Productivity tells you whether the bet is paying off.